ABC Radio Australia.
Australian Stephanie Wheeler arrived in Solomon Islands back in 2019. And when she got there, she never thought she'd end up meeting the love of her life. But that's until Tommy Esau came along. They only had a few short months together before the coronavirus pandemic shut down international borders. And then the couple were torn apart. But now, after 551 days of separation, they've been reunited.
We've just had our 2-year anniversary. So we met in September 2019 over here in Solomon Islands. So I was here for work, doing some malaria research work in quite a remote part of Solomon Islands. That's where he happens to be from. And he was actually the first person that I ever met in Solomons right at the airport, which was really cool. So I was coming over with friends who've known him for about 10 years. He just has the most incredible smile. And yeah, we just really connected. And so I was there for a couple of weeks doing this malaria work, and we just got to know each other then. I think we just connected. I don't know. When you know, you know. I know that's so corny, and I never used to really believe people that said that. But we just clicked instantly, and it was just really easy and fun. And I don't think we ever would have imagined at the time that it would end up this, but we decided to give it a crack anyway.
Amongst the lush green palm trees shading white sandy beaches, Tommy and Stephanie fell in love. When Stephanie had to return home to Newcastle in Australia, they committed to a long distance relationship where they talked to each other every day.
So we were like messaging and video chatting on Messenger and stuff. Yeah, I think it was just that feeling of when something happens, just wanting to talk to him about it and vice versa, and just enjoying getting to know someone in that way.
At Christmas time, Tommy flew to Australia and spent the holidays with her family, and then she went back to Solomon Islands with him. But in March 2020, the coronavirus pandemic hit. Australia shut down its borders, and Stephanie got on the last plane out of the Sols.
So like early January, my colleagues and I were saying, is this the big one? So my particular area is working in pandemic preparedness work. So I wasn't shocked that this was so big and protracted as a public health event. But in terms of the response and restrictions level, I never could have foreseen that it would be like this.
Midway through 2020, Stephanie and Tommy realized that the pandemic wouldn't be ending anytime soon, so started to apply for exemptions so that Tommy could enter Australia on the grounds of immediate family member and compassionate and compelling reasons. Their application was denied. So they tried again, and then denied. All up, Stephanie says they were rejected 16 times.
When the borders closed, of course, so as an epidemiologist, I appreciate and understand the rationale. It literally saved people's lives, and I appreciate that. But the ongoing, it was just the endlessness of it that was really difficult. So we would apply, and applications for most people, I think ours went up to about 100 pages. They want to know that you have joint bank accounts, that you have a joint lease, that you have plans for the future. They want receipts of things that you've bought together. They want photo, like screenshots of messages that you've sent to each other. They want call logs to show that you talk to each other every day. And what the automated rejection email from ABF, from memory, it is something like, allowing this person entry does not outweigh the risk to the Australian community. And so this was something that I found very, very difficult, because in our situation, he is coming from a country that still to this day in October 2021 has never had COVID community transmission and was still never going to be allowed to come in. It was awful. It was really, really horrible. You feel like you're bearing your entire soul to a robot, or, you know, someone on the end of the ABF email who gets to look at all of the most intimate details of our relationship and then goes, nah.
The process took a toll on their mental health, so she turned to her local MP, Sharon Clayton, for support.
She took our case to Parliament and represented us there, which was just really wonderful, because it really feels like you're just nothing. You're just a pawn in the game. And for those of us who've been separated from family and loved ones, whoever that is, it feels like we've sacrificed a lot for the last year and a half to keep everybody safe. You know, having Sharon's support was really wonderful. When she gave her statement in Parliament, it was full of hears and all this and stuff across the room. But ABF, that doesn't mean anything.
After trying what seemed like every avenue to get Tommy into Australia so they could continue their lives, they decided instead for Stephanie to move to Solomon Islands.
We are so lucky. Like, we are, and I never would have thought that a year ago, but we really are lucky ones in that I have such a niche work role that I was able to actually get into the Solomons. I'm supporting the government here in implementing an epidemiology training program. It's a very, very lengthy, complex process to get in. Because of my role, I was able to. And so we decided that we would take a break from doing the exemptions into Australia because it was not going to work in our favor. So we started in January to just focus on getting me here. So that process started in March. And I arrived here at the beginning of September.
When Stephanie eventually arrived in the country, she had to do 3 weeks of quarantine. But she says it was all worth the wait.
Yeah, 21 days later, we finally got to see each other again. People kept asking, like, are we nervous? And I was like, no, I'm not nervous. I couldn't even imagine how it would feel. And people had kept trying to tell me along the way, oh, you should plan what you're going to do when you get together and you should try to visualize this. And I just couldn't. It just felt just painful, I think, to try to hope and plan for things and then it would just constantly get dashed. So I hadn't even really thought anything. And then we saw each other and it was just like I could breathe. Like it was just like a full body sigh. And we just stood there holding each other. And I think I still feel like that. Like it still feels like my body is just coming down from this immense long adrenaline push. Then we moved into our home and it's just been so easy and comfortable. And like people kept saying to me, oh, it'll be like no time. Like you'll kind of forget about it. That will never happen. It's become such a core part of our story. And, you know, for us, I really don't want to become toxic positivity about this because there's very little that's positive. I think he and I worked exceptionally hard to not just keep our relationship going, but to really strengthen our relationship and to make it really solid. So I'm glad that we made the choice to do that. But yeah, no, it's been just so lovely to be back together again and just to do the normal stuff. Like all we want to do is go to the market and have brunch on the weekend. And, you know, we come and sit out here in the morning and have our coffee looking at the view. And, you know, we go for a walk, went to the beach, just normal life stuff that just makes life enjoyable and lovely to share with someone. It's been so nice.